Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. Today is the final Sunday of the Advent season, as this coming Wednesday we will celebrate the Christmas Eve service. We turn to our Lord in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your gift of love, shown to us perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to prepare our hearts to receive him. Bless our worship. We ask this in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen. We turn to our Lord and we confess our sins and receive that forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, for preparing for your coming in the wrong ways. Help us to realize that you are the real reason for celebrating the season. Through the law, lead us to see our sin. Then through the gospel, lead us to see our Savior and the forgiveness we have through his life, death, and resurrection. Dear friends, the Lord has heard our confession. He has sent Jesus to save us from our sins. As a called servant of the Word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then we collect our thoughts in prayer. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the burden of our sins. Make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God then for this fourth week of Advent. Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 7. God will come to save his people just as he promised. We begin in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This is God's word. Our second lesson then is the epistle lesson for today from Paul's letter to the Roman congregation, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul begins by saying, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the holy scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word. And the verse of the day reads, Alleluia, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Alleluia. And our gospel lesson then is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We hear of the loving obedience of Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is God's Word. We confess our faith today using the explanation of the second article. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. This, then, we turn to our message for today, and it comes back from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 7, which I already read at that point. Dear friends in Christ, sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? Yeah, that's an oldie. A refrain from a popular song when I was, well, a teenager. Signs, signs, everywhere are signs. That's not just true as you live life. It's also true as you read the Bible. And so today we're going to go back to the book of Isaiah. And we are going to hear as Isaiah gives us a sign. Do you see it? Do you see the sign? Do you see the sign that God is with us? Once again, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. I would say most of us are familiar with that prophecy. It's probably the best known of all the Christmas prophecies. But what we might not be familiar with is the story behind that sign. And only when we know the story can we really truly appreciate the sign. The story begins with a complete jerk. His name is King Ahaz. The year is 734 BC. This is 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus. As a nation, Israel was divided in two. The Northern Kingdom, the Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom was composed of those 10 tribes. They were called Israel. The Southern Kingdom, well, had 2 tribes, and it was called Judah. Ahaz was the king of Judah, the Southern Kingdom. His father loved the Lord and served the Lord. His son, King Hezekiah, he loved the Lord and served the Lord, but not Ahaz. Ahaz was a political and a spiritual disaster. He kicked the Lord out of his life. He was a spineless heathen who offered up his own 2 sons as a human sacrifice on the altars of the gods. Yet to this godless king, the God of grace reaches out to him. Ask the Lord, your God, for a sign, the Lord says. The Lord was asking Ahaz to trust him. The sign was to be God's divine promise that he would deliver Judah from the attacks of the northern kingdom in Assyria. And more than that, it was the Lord's promise that he would continue. He would bring out that promise of sending a savior from the line of David. But verse 12 we read, Ahaz said, I will not ask. I'll not put the Lord to the test. Under the false guise of humility, Ahaz refused the Lord's offer. And it just further froze his already frozen heart. Isaiah then says, verse 13, hear now you, Ahaz, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? When you look closely at this verse, you find it's very revealing. The speaker is no longer the Lord, but it's Isaiah. And notice the indictment of Ahaz. Will you try the patience of my God? That was it. Not your God, Ahaz. The Lord cut Ahaz off for his refusal to trust him, with his refusal to listen to his word. Well, maybe we're thinking, okay, that's Ahaz. He definitely was a rotten apple. But what does Ahaz have to do with me? Well, there's two things. Two things that he has to do with all of us. First of all, we cannot escape the reality of our own failures to trust God and listen to his word. God promises all is good, and we cry out, oh, woe is me. God commands us to live a certain way, and we do, sometimes, but not all the time, especially when I don't want to. Like Ahaz, we also cop an attitude toward God. Maybe not as bad and blatant as Ahaz, but it is just as bad. And the second thing we learn is to keep trying. What do you mean, keep trying? Trying to reach out to people like Ahaz. You know what is absolutely the worst rhetorical question a child of God can ask? It would be, how can she do that? How can they do that? Well, they can do it because they don't listen to the Lord. Or they don't know anything about the Lord. If you let a small child play with a box of matches, would the child do it? Well, the Lord uses us, as he did Isaiah, to point out, sometimes softly, sometimes strongly, but always lovingly, that there's black and white, right and wrong. And now that you know the story behind these words, let us by faith read the sign. Verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Jesus is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. The sign of the virgin is a wonderful sign for us, telling us that a Savior is soon to be born. It took God to be with us to save us. It took a man to take our place and die. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was virgin born. That means he's Emmanuel, God coming down to earth, taking on human flesh, true God, true man in one person. That's the incarnation, a term that we use to describe God becoming a man. It simply means God took on flesh and bones. You can touch your nose, you can touch your eyes, you can touch your ears. They're part of your body. And like us, Jesus had a body that people could see and touch, but a body that he also still has in heaven. That's what these verses are saying to us. Now, why? Why is he Emmanuel? Why did Jesus have to be true God, true man? He had to be true man to live in our place, to die in our place. He was our substitute, and the sub has to be the same as us. And Jesus had to be a true man to die in our place. But he also had to be true God in order to be born without sin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary. And he also had to be God in order to have his death then count for everyone. That is Emmanuel. That's a gift of God's grace that comes to us through faith. God saves us. No strings attached. He saves us fully, freely, completely through the life, death, the resurrection of our Savior. As you celebrate Christmas with your friends and family later this week, remember what makes it so special. God is with us. God is with us to take away our fears, to remove our guilt, to forgive our sins, to bring us life now and forever. Moses, when he was at that Red Sea, with Pharaoh right behind, he trusted that God was with him and would open up the passage, and God did. Those three guys thrown into the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hopeless situation. They trusted. They trusted God was with them, and God was. David, standing before Goliath, what chance could a little kid have to do with against a big giant? David trusted that God was with him, would give him the victory, and God did. As they trusted, we trust. As God was with them, he is with us. He is Emmanuel. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Eternal Father, throughout the centuries, you repeated your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through your prophets of old, you continually directed the eyes of your people to the advent of their Savior. We praise you, O Lord, for keeping your promise and sending your Son to destroy the works of the devil. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King, use your mighty word to shatter our pride, to rouse us from spiritual slumber. Move us to take to heart the words of John, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You sent your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, give hope to the despairing. Fill our lives with the message of your peace and music of your grace. Direct our eyes not only to the manger but also to the skies, where we will see your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory. Amen. And we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things that you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. And Merry Christmas to you and to your family.